Good morning, everybody. Come on, can we give it up for Pastor Robin? Just show him we love him. Tell him how much we love him, how great he is. We don't say it enough up here, and mainly because he doesn't want us to, but he's such a great leader, and we appreciate him so much, and everything he does for all of us is great. So we love you, Pastor. Thanks for leading so well. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good? Awake? Come on. Get to be in church today. I got to tell you, today we want to just continue what we've been talking about, Christmas at Promised Land. This is week two, but it's kind of sermon three because we got a jump start on First Wednesday. If you were at First Wednesday, Pastor Robin kicked off this series, and then last week we got to talk a little bit more about it. And so we're on week two, but sermon three. And so I'm excited to jump right in. If you have your Bible this morning, let's open it up to Luke, the first chapter of Luke. We're going through the Christmas story in two different books. And we took a look the last couple weeks at Matthew chapter 1. Pastor talked on Matthew chapter 1 on First Wednesday. About the bloodline of Joseph, the father of Jesus, and how Jesus was a descendant of David. Then last week, we kind of got into chapter 2 a little bit, where it talks about Mary birthing Jesus and the journey that they began because Jesus was now running from King Herod, who was intimidated and threatened by the life of Jesus because he found out that Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin who fulfilled so many prophecies. And so because of that, he says, hey, we need to start taking out all the two-year-olds, which I think was probably, a bit of a journey. There was a psychological, there was a psych test that was ran. And they took people of every age group, every single age group, and they said, if left alone in a group, what age group is the most violent and vicious towards each other? What age group is the most kind of just off the wall? And the reports were kind of staggering, kind of shocking. It was actually two-year-olds. If left alone, out of all age groups between newborns to 100 years of age, two-year-olds were the most kind of ruthless, vicious, and violent group. Now, for some of you that, like me, it came as a shock. If you're a parent of a two-year-old, that might not be such a shock to you. So I'm sure that Herod had he had to do some work to get these two-year-olds, captured and all that stuff. But he went because he was so challenged by Jesus, and he was so insecure. And we got to hear a little bit of the heart of Herod, but also the heart of the wise men. And so now in Luke chapter 1, we're going to kind of recap a little bit of what we've already heard, but from a different perspective. We're going to be reading out of verse 26 this morning. Starting in verse 26. And the reason is because chapter 1 through 26 kind of tells a little bit of a different story, a story that precedes the birth of Jesus that I'll get into in just a second. But I think that it's important that we kind of dive right into a moment that Jesus' mother Mary has with an angel that leads her into this journey of being the mother of the Son of God. So 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Now, let me stop right there because I don't want you to get confused, okay? So, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the reason that it makes mention of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Elizabeth is not another name for Mary, okay? It's a completely different person, okay? The Bible in chapter 1 is talking about two different pregnancies that are going on here. The first one is Elizabeth, who is the mother of John the Baptist. If you're familiar at all with, Bible characters, John the Baptist is someone who came before Jesus, and the Bible explains him as not the Son of God, but the one who will prepare the way for the Son of God. So in a very similar fashion, Elizabeth was married to a priest named Zechariah. They were actually up in age, and they were never able to conceive. But just like Mary's visited by an angel earlier in chapter 1, so is Zechariah. And the angel tells Zechariah, I know that you're late in age and that you've never been able to have a child, but I'm going to give you a child and you're going to call him John. And he is the one who is to prepare a way for Jesus, okay? Jesus and John were related. And so this is what it's making reference to. So in the beginning of 1, we get a lot of information about Elizabeth and Zechariah. And then in 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Now, this Mary is the mother of Jesus. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. We learned that a couple weeks ago. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Someone say favor. Someone say found favor. There you go. Verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Verse 32, he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. I want to jump down really quick and read one more verse in 38. Can we put 38 up there? 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Today, I want to talk to you for just a few moments. A message that I guess we're going to call Favored One. Favored One. And I just, for the next few moments, I want to dive into, I know that a lot of times we hear this story of the angel visiting Mary and telling her what's going to happen with Jesus, but I hope today that we can find some things in it and that you would open your mind, expand your thinking, take a different, fresh perspective on what you've heard of this story, and let's find some things that God is wanting to tell us today, right now. Okay, let me pray for you really quick. Let me pray for myself, and then let's jump into this message today. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just give you this time. We just dedicate it to you, God. We pray this morning that you speak your word, whatever it is that you have on your heart for your people that would come forth. And we just ask this morning, God, that if there's any barriers or any distance between us, God, that you would just get rid of that, that you would just come close. As we draw close to you, you would draw close to us. God, if there's any uncertainty, any disbelief in the room, God, if there's anyone on the edge of life and death, that today's their day, that you would minister to them, love them, and do something amazing. Holy Spirit, we pray that you do what only you can do, that show a new side of Jesus to us that we've never seen, so that we could walk out of here different than we walked in. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Okay, so I wanna kind of dive into this story. Now, I want to preface this story with just a little bit of information on what we're reading. Now, we obviously know that this story is a very powerful moment. It is the cliche, the reason for the season, right? It is why we celebrate Christmas, because it is the birth of Jesus. Now, we see a few different characters that are of the utmost importance in the Bible. We see Joseph, who we have learned about, who comes from the bloodline of David, who is the earthly father of Jesus. And then we see Mary, and Mary is a young girl, and it's likely that she is like a peasant. She's not very rich. She doesn't come from much, and we're going to get into her little background and story a little bit more, but something extraordinary happens through them. Now, I want to be careful not to dilute the importance of these two characters, especially Mary, the mother of Jesus. There is a very high importance. She is a faithful follower of God. The Bible lets us know that she sees herself as a humble servant. She sees herself someone who is not really worthy of what she's about to experience. Yet she is called by God because God sees her and tells her, you are the favored one. Now, the reason that I'm prefacing with all of this is because even in all the importance of what Mary is and what she does in this story, it's important that we realize that, and I think Mary would back me up here, that Mary is in a lot of ways just another woman that God used. And I want to be very clear, because I'm going to preach this message, and I know that I have a lot of brothers and sisters in the faith and family in the natural that we have a very high esteem of Mary, and we should. She birthed Jesus. She is very important. But I want us to almost look at Mary on an eye-to-eye level today, in the sense of Mary is a woman who was seeking God that he found faithful and decided to use in a lot of ways, no different than he can use you. I want to take it a step further and say that Mary is not someone, though she is important in the Bible, that we should ever pray to. Mary's not someone, even though we're preaching a message about her, that we worship. Mary's not someone who can ever help us get closer to God in a intercessory type way. Now, I know that sometimes these can be big pills to swallow, but I really believe that Mary would almost back me up in this in saying that just like any other character, whether it be Moses or Noah or even Elizabeth and Zechariah, they are here merely to help point us to the real Savior that is Jesus. And so I want to preach to you this morning about the amazing things God does through Mary, but I want to be very clear that I am not trying to point you to a gospel that says that Mary is of an utmost importance more than any other person here. Mary is powerful, but it's because of the God in her, the same God who is in you. And so let's look at her story this morning. It's a really cool story when you think about it. An angel appears to Mary, and the angel calls her favored woman. Now, when I was reading this, I got the thought, maybe it was Holy Spirit helping me understand, but the angel called her favored woman. Now, what's interesting about that is the angel in itself, I don't believe, has the ability or takes the time to come up with titles for every person. I really felt God speak to me in this first part of the scripture from the very beginning when he says favored woman, and I felt God told me that the angel called her favored woman because he heard God constantly calling her favored woman. Do you understand that God has something that he calls you? God has something that he has labeled you with. God has something that he has given you identity with and purpose with. And for Mary, it was favored woman. But for my question to you this morning is, do you know what God calls you? Do we spend enough time with God that we know how he addresses us? Do we spend enough time in God's word that we'll have a full understanding of what the word says about us? See, because the reality is, and the truth is that God does have something that he calls you. And what's amazing about what he calls you is that titles only come with relationship. Okay? Titles come through relationship. And it's important that we understand that. That when you get a title, it's because you have relationship. Now, God calls all people in the Bible that come to him sons and daughters. But he refers to a few as friends. Even fewer than that, the beloveds. And it's not because God has these things where he only accepts certain people and certain people he doesn't know. It's all based on the proximity of others that chose to get close to him that adjusted the title that he gave them. Depending on how willing people were to seek him, adjusted what God was willing to call them. You see, everyone, he said, sons and daughters, if you come to me. But a few people, he said, that's my friend. And even less than that, it's my beloved. John, the disciple that Jesus loved. Titles are based on relationship, because the deeper the relationship, the deeper the title, and the deeper the title allows for deeper intimacy. See, like this past week, my wife and I, we celebrated 2 years of marriage, and we had a good time. We had a mini vacation, and it was great. But when I was studying this and reading this, it reminded me, because at one point, with all due respect, my wife was just some girl that I was talking to, okay? I love you, baby. And that was the title given to her. When my friends were like, yo, who's that? I was like, ah, it's just some girl. Hey, calm down, right? Just some girl I'm talking to. But the deeper our relationship became, all of a sudden, oh, that's Milo's girlfriend, right? And then our relationship became a little bit deeper, and then we had to take a trip to the bank, and all of a sudden, that's Milo's fiance, right? Because our relationship got deeper, and the deeper the relationship allowed for a deeper point of intimacy. And now we stand here 2 years later, and now that's Emilio's wife. There's a new title on her. There's a new title on me as husband, because our relationship got deeper. Can I just take a side note in here? There's a lot of people that are living this life talking about hubby this and wifey this and play I ain't seeing no ring. We can give fake titles, but relationship, the depth of the relationship and the depth of the intimacy will always be a telltale sign. It will pull you back to reality. It will show you. And so if I can just be honest with you this morning, we can pretend like certain things on Instagram about our closeness with God and our closeness with the Holy Spirit. And we can act like, you know, we're this close, or we do this, or we're this good of a person, or the opposite. We can say, man, I'm far from God, and woe is me, and I'm so pathetic, and I'm so this. But the question is, do we really know what God calls you? Have you gotten to a place in your relationship where it's deep enough for him to give you a title that allows you to enter into a new level of intimacy with him? He calls her favored woman. What does he say about you? I think that we've gotten to a place in society where there's a lot of people who don't necessarily know what God says about them. And from a pastoral standpoint, I think that's what's really one of the things that is the most wrong with the world that we live in. We're living in a day today where there's more crime than ever before. There's more suicide than ever before. There's more suicide amongst young women than ever before. There's more divorce than ever before. There's more alcoholism. There's more drug use and drug overdoses than ever before. And I don't think the world is getting darker because the world is necessarily full of just bad, evil people. I think the world is getting darker because the world is full of people who don't know what God says about them and who God has called them to be and what God labels them as. Can we grab an understanding this morning that God calls you something? God calls you beloved. God calls you favored. God calls you free. God calls you healed. God calls you blank. But we would rather listen to the things that are around us than really listen to what God is calling us or who he is calling us to be. And you know what? It is hard to execute the things that God has called you to do in life when you don't believe who he's called you to be. What he's called you to do begins with who he's called you to be. And if you're sitting in here in a place today where you're kind of like, hey, like, yeah, I don't really know, that's okay. I want us to put the verse up. Let me see. It is verse 29. Can you put verse 29 up there? It says that Gabriel appeared to her and said, favored woman, the Lord is with you. 29 says, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think, what in the world is this angel talking about? Now, all the angel said has up until this point was, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Mary had a hard time digesting that, even as someone who has spent time with God. And it's because when you peel back the curtain on Mary's life, Mary didn't necessarily feel like a favored woman. Can anyone relate to Mary this morning in a sense of what God is speaking over you doesn't necessarily line up with where you are in your life in this moment? God is calling you to something, labeling you something, empowering you for something, yet it just doesn't feel that way in the natural. God is giving you a title, and it's making you feel confused. What do you do when what God is saying and what you're going through don't seem to relate at all? Can anyone in here this morning relate to Mary's confusion? Can we just put into perspective? God is calling her favored. And in hindsight, we can see why. But in her present and even her near future, it is hard to see the favor that he is talking about. Mary, who comes from this city that has no favor in it whatsoever, who is very low on money and doesn't come from much, is about to be given a child to be responsible for that is the savior of the world. On top of that, it is coming in a way that really no one had ever been had a baby before in her area or in her time. And so she is going through a story that doesn't really make sense, that actually brings division between her and her new fiance, who actually at one point chooses, I'm going to kind of secretly leave her so that I don't bring her shame. So she's going through the emotion of her fiance leaving because an angel tells her that she's going to now have a baby. And there's all this question. And I can only imagine that people that are sitting in the morning having their coffee are saying, hey, have you heard about Mary? Have you heard about what she's doing? She got pregnant from some guy and she's claiming that it's an angel that gave it to her. I mean, can you believe the nerve of her to bring God into her infant? And rumors are starting to build, and she's already young. The Bible tells, or the Bible doesn't, but scholars would tell us that Mary is somewhere between the ages of 12 and 16. Most believe that she's somewhere between 14 and 16. Some believe she was as young as 12. So she's a teenager dealing with all of this. Then once she is birthed, moving forward just a little bit, all of a sudden she has the responsibility of not just the baby, but the baby that's supposed to grow up to save the entire world. On top of that, there's a king who now all of a sudden that we've learned wants to kill this baby. And so Mary, under all the stress that she's already in, is bouncing from city to city trying to protect her child from a king who has a lot of power and a lot of resources and now wants to kill that child who she's now responsible for. And God is trying to tell her that she's favored. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't see much favor in that story. Is there anyone in here this morning that can relate to God telling you something about yourself? Like God calls you free, but you're still full of fear. Like maybe God calls you healed, but you're still full of hurt. Maybe God calls you beloved, but you're still full of trust issues. God calls you to start something new, to plant something new, to do something fresh. But you're still full of being scared and timid. And the thing God is calling you to, you don't necessarily feel. Mary had a choice in this moment. Mary had a choice in this moment. She had a choice to base her journey on what she felt was going on in her life and the things around her, or to base her journey on the word that God had spoken over her. It's a journey that a lot of us face every day. The reality is that each and every one of us in this room, we have purpose, regardless of age, current life situation. You're married, you're single, you're a student, you're old, you're young. God has placed something inside of you. And he's given you a label. He's called you something. We'll never know what it is that God has called us unless we go deeper in our relationship with him. But when you hear what he's called you to, you have a choice to live based off that calling or to live based on your circumstances. And a lot of times they don't always line up. I remember when I was younger, the first time I ever encountered God. I was a young kid and we had started going to church. And we went to this conference in Fort Worth, and all of a sudden, man, I just felt this power and this presence. It just came over my life to the point where I was emotional, it was heavy, and for the first time I was experiencing the presence of God. And it really did wreck me. It was just, it blindsided me, and we were in a moment of worship at this conference, and I was at the altar, and I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me, and it was just this amazing moment, and I remember just being shaken to my core and feeling just so empowered and so heavy. And then I remember going back to school that school year and beginning the most difficult journey of trying to figure out if I wanted to be the person and I wanted to live the way that I had felt in that moment, or if I wanted to live the way that I had been for so long. If I wanted to continue talking the way I was talking and acting the way I was acting, if I wanted to continue hanging with the people that I had been hanging with, not that they were bad people, but I knew that they would never understand or encourage the decisions that I had just made that summer, and I was so split. And for years, I went back and forth. For years, I had this internal struggle, and it wasn't until years later when I remember, and I had had a few moments in between, but years later where I had had this moment again. And it's a funny story, but I was actually coming here to Promised Land, and my family had started coming to church here, and we had been here for probably like a year or two. And I was a senior in high school, and I think I had just graduated high school, if I'm not mistaken, and I started going to Texas State. And I had done a summer session. And after my summer session was over, the youth pastor that used to be here, his name was T-Bear. Some of you might remember him. He invited me to go to summer camp. And I said, I'm not going to summer camp. I had kind of made my decision that I was going to kind of go to Texas State and you know, pursue an education. And he said, man, I just need some leaders. I'll give you a little bit of cash if you just come and help me out. And I said, done. So he gave me some money to go be a leader with him at this camp. And I went. I had no really interest in deepening anything at that point. And I had made some great friends, great connections. I figured I'm going to go to Texas State, and I'm going to just keep going to Promised Land where my family is. And I think I'd even had a conversation with Pastor Robin, and Pastor Robin said, just get your degree. We'll teach you what you need to know about ministry and that sort of thing, and it'll be great. And I was at this camp, and I remember just feeling so pressed in this leaders' meeting to go down to the front. And I had been going through this internal struggle with God and knowing what he had called me to, but also knowing the life that I wanted to live, the life that seemed fun, the life that I felt I was entitled to. I'm a high school kid. Just let me live my life. Let me make my choices. And I know that we're making a comparison here with maybe someone who's younger. But if we take a look at our own life, I think a lot of us in a lot of ways are in that same boat all the time. Can I be really frank with you? A lot of us are in that place where we live a certain way on Sundays and it's God's day and da-da-da, but the other days of the week, there's things that we don't want anyone to know anything about that creep back into our life. And I went and I was in this leaders meeting and I said, okay, God, and I felt really heavy again. It was the presence. I knew what it was and I felt so heavy. And I said, I'm gonna go down to the front, and the pastor was praying. He used to have these big prayer leaders meetings and he would pray for people and people would be like all falling out everywhere. And it was just like a real like Pentecostal type deal. I mean, it was like the real deal. And I was like, I'm gonna go. And I said, and God, if you have a word for me, like it's now or never, like I need to know. And it was this moment, and I went up there, and I lifted my hands, and I closed my eyes, and I didn't know what was going to happen. But this pastor who was walking by me, he didn't know me from the next person, you know, to the right or the left of me. And he's doing his whole deal, and he's shouting. And I mean, he was just a very, like, just, what's the word? Charismatic. Yes. And he grabs my hand, and he goes, woo! Which, I don't know why he did that, but it made me feel good inside. And he said, that's a pastor right there. That's exactly how he said it. And I mean, like, when I tell you, I'm about to cry thinking about it. Man. When I tell you that something changed in me in that moment, because I had to come face to face with what God had called me. It changed everything about me. And I wish I could tell you this morning that when you come face to face with what God calls you to, that it's like the end of the road and everything gets better and, you know, it's all rainbows and unicorns and there's no more problems. But honestly, it's quite the opposite. I experienced a new life, but with that new life, I experienced new problems as well. The difference was now I could face all my problems knowing who I was in Christ. Can I tell you something this morning? The things that you are currently going through are not too much for you to handle when you accept what God has called you to be. And it's different for each and every one of us. We have different fears, different struggles, different strongholds, different things to overcome. For some of us, it's behavioral. For some of us, it's attitude. For some of us, it's real sin things that we cannot give up. And if you try to go through life making the choice that I'm going to be and take on life based on the circumstances around me, you will never be able to overcome the things that you are walking through. But Mary, in the face of all adversity, chose to believe who God has called her to be, who God had named her, what the label he put on her. And she says, you know what? I am a favored woman. So Herod, bring on your armies. So world, bring on your troubles. So people, do everything that you want to do to me and my son, but it's not going to make a difference because I am favored. I know the world wants me to be fearful, but I'm favored. I know they want me to be afraid, but I'm favored. I know that things tell me all arrows point to giving up, to losing hope, but I am favored. And the favor of the Lord that is upon me is stronger and better than anything that can ever come against me. Do you understand? Let's bring life to Scripture. The Word says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When you live according according to God, who God has called you to be. This morning, I want to encourage you with the life and story of Mary that says, you know what? Things aren't always going to look the way we want them to, feel the way we want them to, but God has called you something. And if there's anything as a pastor that I can push you towards, that I can nudge you in the direction of, that I can give you encouragement, is to find who God has called you to be. Because when you find it, you have to face it. And too many times do we have people, believers, even in our church, who disqualify themselves from what God has called them to be because of the circumstances around them. But your life and your problems and your circumstances is not what qualifies you for the favor. The favor qualifies you to take it all on. Will you stand with me this morning? You know, I had a message kind of prepared, and I told Pastor this morning that looked a little bit different and sounded a little bit different, and I was very nervous to get up here today because just over the last 48 hours, I felt like I had completely turned the whole thing upside down. I'm so sorry. And I don't know why my heart is so heavy this morning, but I think that I'm just, the Lord is allowing me to see a glimpse of the amount of people who don't live according to what God has called them, the name that God has given you. Morning, I want to pray for you, and I want to pray one of two things. Either that for the first time you hear the voice, or you hear the impression, the still small voice of God telling you what he calls you. I don't know if it's favored or loved, treasured, beautiful, strong. But that you would hear it. I want to pray also for people that you've heard it, but you haven't been living by it. Maybe you feel like you don't have the courage. Maybe you can't stand up to the family and friends that might ridicule you. Maybe you have been fighting the lifestyle change that comes along with the identity that God has given you. Maybe it's just, it seems insurmountable. Maybe it seems unobtainable to really be this way. Maybe everything in life has tried to beat you down. And so the fact that God is trying to pick you up just feels so weird and so uncomfortable. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe for some people in here, I feel like maybe you've just been too macho, too machismo, and it's been too hard for you to really just take the spot and the identity of a son, of a kid who's able to make mistakes, who's able to fall short, who doesn't have to be perfect. There's some men in here that I want to speak to, that you don't have to be perfect for your family. You don't have to be perfect for your job. You don't always have to feel the pressure of life and feel the responsibility of making sure everyone's okay. Sometimes it's okay for you to just trust God. And I know that it makes you vulnerable, and I know that's a scary place because vulnerability has always led to hurt or disappointment or ridicule. But God is someone who can take all of your problems. It says, cast all your cares on Jesus because he cares for you. That there's a love that people in here need to experience. And I don't know what it was about Mary, but she went from being disturbed and confused to saying, God, whatever you say is going to come to pass. It was just a small conversation. It was just a small moment, Pastor Robin, with that angel. And I don't know what switched, but she went from being confused and disturbed from just saying, God, if you said it, it's going to happen. And my hope this morning is that you would have that same moment with God where you say, I'm confused, I'm disturbed, I don't know what to think or what to do. And in one moment with God, it's if he said it, he will do it. It will happen in my life. It will change everything around me. My prayer this morning is that you would open up your heart enough enough to allow that to happen, that fear would go away, that worry would go away, and that you would accept what God has called you to be, that there would be no more fear, no more anxiety, no more depression, that you would leave the titles written on your forehead by the world or by social media, and you would pick up the plaque that God made for you before you were ever born. It says when he was forming you in your mother's womb, he knew you. That's the real you. That's the title that he gives you. And I wish that someone in here this morning would just have enough faith in God and be willing to be comfortable, uncomfortable enough that you would pick that up for your life. But you don't get the title without depth in the relationship. And I tell you what, if I had ever left my wife on red, she would not be my wife today. God is tired of being left on red from some people in here. It's time for you to respond. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you. And if this is you, that you feel that I'm talking to you in any form or fashion, nobody looking around, if you would just hold your hand up, you would just hold your hand up so I can pray for you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, right now I pray for every hand lifted that is looking for a new identity, that is looking to believe and to buy in to what you have called them. God, that you would right now release new names over this place, that you would release new identity, the name of beloved, the name of healed, the name of empowered, the name of worshiper, that you would show us the name that you have placed over our life when you formed us in our mother's womb, God, and that you would remove any names or labels that have ever been put on. God, we want a Mary moment right now. I want people to go from confused and disturbed to believing in everything that you have spoken. Your word says that we're above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. God, there's people in here that are paymasters. There's people in here that are pastors. There's people in here that are disciple makers. You have called people in here to shake their places of business, to shake the city that we live in, to rattle the school districts from the ground up. God, you have called people in here that will be the beginning of revival in San Marcos. You have called people in here that will be the beginning of a move of God through the state of Texas and through the world. You have given people testimonies and stories, God, of your goodness, and bring back to a remembrance all the things that you have done for us, and let it fuel our faith for all the things that you're still going to do in the future. God, that every person would right now, under the sound of my voice, buy into who they are in Christ and what he has called them to. We speak that in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, that you would just do your job right now. I just see a wave of identity going all over this place. It's like a wave just getting everybody wet with identity. And as it washes away all the things you've thought about yourself, it reveals everything that God has ever said. You're not broken. It's not your anxiety. Stop claiming that depression. There is hope. You are good enough. God has never left you nor forsaken you, and he never will. So stop telling yourself that you're alone. You gotta let it go. The reason we let it go is because God is empowering you to do something amazing. If Mary would have never believed in her favor, Jesus would have never lived the life that he needed to live. But God chose to give Jesus to the woman he called favorite because he knew that his favor was powerful enough to not only get her through, but get his son where he needed to go. I pray that as you continue your journey with God and throughout the week and the month, and as you continue to deepen that relationship, that you will see who he's called you to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you guys for being here today. We love you so much. We pray that you would just continue this worshipful spirit and moment, whether it's right here for just the next few moments or as you go. But just go today knowing you're loved. We love you. You're dismissed.
Lose my worries in your